this is Mark, and you are listening to the very first proper episode of the King of Queens podcast. I don't know why I almost said project. I want to welcome to the very first episode, Chris. How you doing, Chris?
Hey. Hey, Mark. How's it going?
It's going all right, man. Thanks a lot for doing this. I was already thanking you before, but I'll thank you again. Thanks for doing this kind of last minute. It's the holiday season, and you dropped everything. You dropped everything to be here.
I always got time to watch King of Queens.
Yeah, man. It's funny. Just last night, I was watching a couple episodes, and I'm like, you know, I should really be watching the pilot again.
Yeah, I went back and watched it, and it has been a while, for sure.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's weird. A lot of people don't like these first few seasons. And I think if you go back and you love the show, you just kind of, I don't know, you fall into love with the show. In general, but I'm going to play just the opening little scene, the very first scene of King of Queens ever, right?
Yeah.
And I click unpause and nothing happens. There we go. And that music is so weird. the music would last for a while, you know?
Yeah.
And of course we'll talk about the house eventually. Now they had a porch at some point, and now it's just like a regular brick colonial. It's very strange. Yeah.
They just delivered the TV an hour ago, and Kelly, this thing is so gigantic, it's ridiculous. I mean, the instruction book is bigger than our old TV. Oh, let me go. Doug's home. Okay, bye.
Oh, yeah? Well, for your information, these are official company issue.
Doug.
No, you shut up.
Doug.
What? He's making fun of my shorts again.
He's five. Be the bigger man.
Just frustrating, you know? He's so well-dressed, I can't come back at him with anything. Hey, what are you doing home from work?
Well, my boss was trying a case in Jersey, so I snuck out early. Come on, come on. I have a huge surprise for you.
You're pregnant.
Yes. No.
Thank God.
So there's a lot of weird foreshadowing. Not really foreshadowing, but like themes that we would, you know, explore in the later seasons.
Yeah, like her job at the law firm, and then
the TV.
When he was yelling at the TV, and when he was yelling at those kids on the street, it made me think of that episode where Deacon and Danny show up at the house after they're like fighting and throwing snowballs with kids on the street.
Yes.
It was kind of reminiscent of that now that I think about it.
Yeah, I kind of like the idea of him constantly yelling at kids out there. We, you know, remember like he has like a family move in next door and they have like six kids or seven kids. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, he's fighting with them and they do like the King Kong reenactment, which I thought was kind of funny. But, you know, a lot of the jokes are a little bit, you know, they're a little bit you know, for this first episode. Like, when you think of King of Queens, when do you feel as though it really starts becoming the show? Like, you know, like, what season do you start at when you jump into it?
Yeah, like, when I'm doing my rewatches, I'll basically just start at season 3, episode 1, because, like, I always feel like the show really found its groove at that point.
Right.
And only, like, in my opinion, the first two seasons, we only saw flashes of that. So, like, I would say in the season 2 episode, the Restaurant Row, it's called, where, you know, the Capers episode.
Yeah.
Where they go to that restaurant. That's one that I feel like we were starting to see flashes of what the show would become.
If you want to change the order, you change the order. I don't want to change the order.
Yeah, we were seeing Carrie's personality start to come out more, being argumentative, and Doug trying to smooth things over.
In this first episode, I mean, it's very unfair to kind of review pilots, just because we do see where it ends up. But it's also really interesting that very little changes in terms of their dynamic. Based on this first episode, granted, we have Sarah Spooner in this and she vanishes after 3 episodes or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Also, I'm older than you. So I remember the days of having a big screen TV was kind of a big deal. I mean, Now it's like you could spend $600 and buy like an 80-inch 4K TV at Walmart. Might not be the best 4K TV in the world, but it's a 4K TV. and it's huge. So it's really crazy. And it's really interesting so that's why she came home early, because she had bought him this TV. So I'm play some of that.
That's correct.
Also, we get to see like a little bit of the wood paneling that we don't normally get to see in the base on the way to the basement. It's like a real basement too. It's kind of, and we have a guitar up there. I can't picture Doug really playing guitar.
Yeah.
The guitar quickly vanishes. But I do think the stereo does end up being the stereo that ends up in the living room.
Yeah, I think that's true, actually.
And their little fax machine.
That whole basement set looks so different.
It does.
From what we later see.
And I always, whenever I see this carpet, I think of the Mold episode where behind the wood paneling. It's so nasty.
I love you.
I never noticed this before, but we have a bunch of trophies over here, which is kind of interesting. A lot of bowling trophies.
Oh, yeah.
I never noticed that before. So, do you have like kind of an interest in creating a man cave? Like, this is kind of like a thing of the time, even. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, when I'm not living in a house right now, but I think when I do, I mean, it does seem.
Yeah.
From what I've seen, it's cool. Like, I guess my brothers-in-law, I've seen them in their houses and, they're pretty nice.
They have their space that they've mapped out for themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. So Doug basically loves the TV. We have the entrance of his friends, which I've read that the friends weren't supposed to remain a part of the show, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Really?
Yeah, I don't, it's weird. If you go to the King of Queens groups that are on Facebook, people just kind of, it seems like they make up stuff a lot. And
for like behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah. And then if you ask for a source, they just kind of, they vanish.
Yeah. I see that kind of thing a lot across like various different groups, about different shows. Yeah, I see that kind of thing a lot.
Way too much.
Right ever.
I kind of stepped on his little joke there. So.
Oh man, I gotta call the guys. I
already did, on their way.
You called them?
Yep.
You are the best mail order bride ever!
So that's it, cutie. Your cave is complete.
And check this out, he has a bar over here.
Yeah.
Really?
And whenever I see this part, whenever I see this part, I always notice that this is the screen cap that they took. I don't know if you watch it on like Paramount Plus or Peacock. I think it's one of those two.
I ripped all the DVDs and I just watched that through like my own server. Yeah, like a nerd.
Yeah smart. But like I've noticed that they use this particular screen cap for a lot of the promotion or like materials like that on like the streaming services and stuff. Like I always think like, does this really capture the show or
is it just a decent shot of them?
Yeah. Like in my opinion, it doesn't capture the show because it's too early, but it's still a good shot,
Also, he has his G-Shock watch on there.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. Check that out. I bet it's on the same battery today than it was back then. Those things just, they never die.
Yeah, I just love it down here, It's like someone stuffed some shag carpet and a foosball table into my mother's womb.
So I think lines like that are pretty solid.
Yeah.
I mean, they're ridiculous, but,
Ow.
Doug, you got the TV?
Yeah, it's down here.
I mean, mean, that is some serious physical comedy. All three of them come. Oh, I did. Do you notice this thing, this bulldog?
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap. What is that?
I always wonder, like, as I was rewatching this, I realized that the guys fall down the stairs and then they cut and then they come back to the guys and it's, you know, the actors we know. Oh, I wonder if those were like stunt doubles or if they were actually them.
Let's see. I'm going to say.
Ow.
Duck! Duck, duck! You got the TV?
Yeah, it's down here.
Can't see anyone's face.
Your friends are here.
I can't feel my legs. Damn, that's a nice TV.
So yeah, we get the generic intro. And, you know, basically they're doing what a lot of people do, especially back then, where if you get satellite or something, you know, like have 300 channels of nothing to watch.
And you got to, you know, flip through them all when you get the new TV. Yeah, I remember that.
Out of all of, out of all of Doug's friends, what who do you like the most in terms of, like, who's the funniest or?
I guess for me, it's Deacon.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because as I was growing up watching the show, like, I always related the most to Spence because me and him are the most similar. But I don't think he's the funniest. I think Deacon's the funniest.
See, I still think Spence. I think that they've really done so much weird stuff with Spence, like him being fans of Groon, his whole being allergic to everything, I think is funny. I think Deacon is great. There are times where I'm kind of like, eh, with Deacon, though.
Really?
I find him a little bit annoying when he's going through the divorce or the split up. I don't know why. I found him to be a little bit whinier. And but then they get back together and everything seems to be back to normal. We have a drum set over here, too. Like, Doug's, like, you know, pounding the skins over there.
Oh, yeah.
And a washer-dryer. Never really thought. I mean, they replaced the washer-dryer with the stacked one. That
We only see him do laundry like once or twice in the whole show.
Yeah, like, remember we have the surveillance of Arthur.
Yeah.
Which I just think, yeah, again, that's very funny. So they're basically going channel.
Two, I'm on three, back to two, then bam, hello 57.
You may also notice that in the credits, I think mine are German for some reason. I'm not really sure.
Could we leave it on one channel, please?
Look at this, picture in picture. Oh, look at this, picture in picture, in picture.
I'm begging you, you're going to trigger my epilepsy.
See, stuff like that is, I mean, it's not funny, but I mean, you know, it's not funny in terms of triggering his epilepsy. But
yeah. Yeah, that's a memorable line for me.
From you?
For me, like, that's one of the ones when I think of the pilot, that's one of the ones that comes to mind for some reason.
Basically his friends are going to tease Doug a little bit about being whipped.
Nah, see, I love a little jiggle on the first lady. You got to do it.
Sorry. This is also a very timely thing. They're talking about Hillary Clinton, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it's...
First lady accompanied the president.
Would you do Hillary?
First lady, you gotta do it.
I don't know. She's filling out that skirt a little bit too much for my taste.
Nah, see, I love a little jiggle on the first lady.
What a think tank you two have going.
Doug, it's after six. Enough with the TV.
All right. Hey, you guys, come on. You better get out of here. Let's
Douglas,
go.
Douglas, my man, you are wit.
Yeah, man, you're wit.
What are you talking about? You still live with your mother.
She doesn't drive.
So that's pretty awesome. I don't know. Spence just seems so complicated at such an early part of this entire thing. We have a computer hiding over here, too, I just noticed. At least the top of one. There's a lot of stuff going on in this little basement.
Yeah. Must have taken forever to decorate that set.
Yeah. It's pretty, I mean, it definitely is pretty interesting. Let's see. basically, I'm going to speed through some of this. Basically, they're talking about renting a movie and watching television. But then they remember that they have to go over to Carrie's father's house for dinner. So they get out of it somehow. I forget exactly. They just kind of...
I think he asked her to cancel, essentially.
Yeah, basically that. And they're hanging out in the basement. Doug's amazed at his backlight on his remote.
I thought you wanted to fool around tonight.
I do. I'm ready. You ready?
My friend, I've been looking at Denzel Washington for 2 hours. I'm ready.
Her accent is so thick in some of these acts, in some of these episodes. Yeah. Hours.
Well, let's rumble.
All right. Now, you.
So we get into one of these scenes where I have to wonder, like, they do get very intimate on screen in many episodes. And you just have to wonder, like, you know, is it just acting? Did they kind of ever have any feelings for each other? I don't know. I'm going to guess they didn't. But
yeah, that's kind of always the impression that I get, is that they didn't.
Yeah.
But, you know, I always think, you know, these are... they essentially just met, you know, like in real life.
Yeah.
So even if they're actors, you know, they're being pretty intimate this early on in the show. It's like, I bet that was a little bit awkward, you know, for them.
Yeah. I mean, it must have been. I mean, I'm not an actor, but I would imagine that it would be a little bit awkward. So they're fooling around and somebody comes knocking. By the way, well, is this all open there on the left? Yeah, it goes like further.
Yeah.
One of my biggest pet peeves is something I was just doing. So I hate when people point out things like boom mics and stuff like that. But at the same time, I do like to see things that make up the set. I think that makes really kind of an interesting story. But yeah, somebody's banging out the door.
Yeah, let me guess. Some huge crisis. You need to talk to your sister right away.
Yes!
Oh, sorry.
Tessie died.
Tessie died?
So Tessie is their stepmother, I think. And I think that in the flashback later, that would be the Carol Brady, right? The woman who played Carol Brady from the Brady Bunch.
I think that's right.
Remember the Thanksgiving one where they have the flashback and... They're kind of fighting over who said I love you first.
Yeah. And I'm trying to remember if they mentioned her name in that episode.
Because, you know, we do know that Arthur had a few marriages. So just not 100% sure.
I actually just Googled it. Oh. She played Lily.
So it's another wife.
Yeah. So I guess Tessie would have been after Lily. I don't know.
Yeah. Another inconsistency.
Yeah.
And in all fairness, Sarah goes away and we never hear from her either.
Yeah, they probably didn't think too hard about it. You know, the timeline.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think? Why do you think they got rid of Sarah? Do you think there's just too much of a similarity between her and Carrie?
I mean, I think it's a couple different things. They're a little bit too similar and like, they probably just couldn't think of enough storylines for her.
Yeah.
And, like, nothing against the actress, but she didn't really, like, bounce off the others as well.
See, as, you know. I like the whole idea of, in a later episode, where they're having, they're going to a wedding and Spence takes a bunch of photos.
Yeah.
Or no, was it at a wedding or was it like their party or something? I forget what it was. But Spence is taking tons of photos and all the photos end up being of Sarah. And
I
don't know. I kind of like, I thought it was really funny in that instance. So I don't know. I felt like they were developing a decent character. But I'm just like, not sure.
It's hard to say because, you know, we only had her for a few episodes, basically. You know, sometimes they grow into the story or the character, but, you know, we got what we got.
This is our first impression of Arthur Spooner, which I think really without Arthur's character, I feel as though the whole show may not have been as successful as it was. I mean,
yeah,
some people hate him. Some people are like, oh, I can't stand him.
It's funny for me because he was never my favorite character. Mm-hmm. However, this King of Queens premiered just a few months after Seinfeld ended. So I always think of that in the context of like, he was a, I don't know if you would call him a big name, but he was recognizable.
Sure.
And he was probably what fueled the show's success early on, probably.
Yeah.
And a lot of people say that he's their favorite character.
I mean, I think if I'm going to quote something from this show, very often it'll be one of his quotes. And it's not necessarily the quote itself as much as it is the delivery. He's a really just funny character. So he's sitting there and he's watching people basically take food at his wife's funeral, you know, like the gathering after.
So, how you doing, Arthur? How you holding up?
Look at that guy.
What guy?
That freak over at the buffet table.
That freak. The guy who's helping himself to the food.
He's stealing food. See that piece of ham? Watch. It's going right in his pocket.
He's making a sandwich.
Another one? That's a story. Yeah, you. I guess my wife dropping deads made you pretty hungry, huh?
Well, that's amazing.
That's it. I'm cutting you off. Doug, let's get his ham.
What an awkward position to be put in. Yeah, all right. So basically, everybody's just kind of like upset about it, and they're thinking about sending Arthur off to a nursing home or like some type of senior living.
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to mention how he's getting mad at that guest for like taking food off the table. Like, I mean, pointing out another thing that we kind of see later on is that you might even know where I'm going with it.
Yeah, with the aluminum foiled pockets.
Oh, well, that too. But like, there's one episode a few seasons later where like he's getting mad at Carrie, or he's telling Carrie about someone who like took a bunch of deviled eggs at a party or something.
Yeah,
and he's still mad about it. Like, that reminded me a lot of that.
Yeah, he seems to have a really big hang up with, I guess, buffet foods.
Yeah.
But yeah, when he went to, I believe it was Carrie's work party, and he was bringing, he was going to aluminum foil line his pockets.
Yeah, yeah.
It's brilliant. Brilliant.
God, a retirement home? I don't know, Carrie. Is it like evil of us to do that to him?
Will you stop? We talked about this. It's the best thing.
I know, but don't those places sometimes do, you know, experiments on old people? You know, like testing perfume in their eyes or making them run mazes? Hmm? No. Okay, but even so, if he sells his house...
So I was looking at the, in the background, and we have like some old vintage like coffee maker up here. It's pretty crazy. We have crock pot that I think everybody's grandma has, this crock pot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And just cookie jars and all this kind of cool stuff. And the bread holder with the mushrooms on it. It's just super, super like, I guess I would even say it's 80s more than 70s.
Like that tile on the wall looks like bathroom tile.
Totally. Yeah.
And like, it made me think like later in the series when we see this house again, like, does it look?
Well, we don't see this house again because it burns down.
Oh yeah. Well, I think in like flashbacks.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, for example, when they were inviting him to Thanksgiving or, you know, they had a few. Yeah. With Lily.
When Tessie was named Lily.
Yeah.
Hi, where am I going to go? I've been living here rent-free.
Don't you have any money, say?
No. Thought I was going to get that big Mentos commercial, but apparently they didn't think I was fresh and full of life, stupid schmucks.
So she would come back later in a Kevin James show, right? Or what else did she do? I could be 100% wrong on that. I'm going to look up. I think I am wrong. I could have sworn she showed up in something that was kind of interesting. Lisa Riffel is her name. And yeah. I'm sorry, you were going to say
something. Yeah, I'm kind of looking at her Wikipedia now. It's a lot of sitcoms, like in the 90s. But nothing I recognize after King of Queens.
Me either. How do I... There was like something I thought I recognized her.
NCIS, she was on.
It could have been a conversation I had about the Kevin James show where he's the retired cop. Kevin... What is it called?
Kevin Wait?
Yes. And...
Maybe.
What year did that come out? That was a while ago. Remember right,
I'd say like 2018 or something. I can check.
Yeah, I have it in front. Yes, it's 2016 to 2018, which I thought was a kind of a weird thing. But then we had Leah Remini come onto that show, and they basically pushed out an actress. The
original wife, yeah.
Which is weird because they should have had her as Sarah Spooner or something.
Yeah, I thought that was weird too. Like I couldn't really get into the show, but what I did read about it and stuff, I was like, that was a weird move to me. But
yeah, I don't really care for the whole playing favorites type of thing. As fans, I think we wanted to see that Leah Remini and Kevin James reunion, of course, but not in a different setting. It just doesn't work for me personally, although I do find Kevin James to continue to be very funny. He releases things on YouTube every once in a while, which is still pretty good. Yeah. I like him. Have you ever had a chance to see his stand-up?
No, only like videos.
I was in Connecticut with my wife, and we were in a casino, and they comped us tickets, and I'm like, holy crap, it's for Kevin James. We had no idea. So they just gave us tickets, and it was really funny. He's not like a big dirty comedian. You're used to kind of dirty comedians nowadays.
Right. And, he's more of the clean comics, I think they call him.
Like I was really surprised. I don't know why I thought he would be a little bit more R-rated, but no, it's good. It was a really good set. It went very quickly.
And do you remember if he had his brother like opening for him? I've heard that he does.
Yeah,
that.
He did. Valentine. I forget his first name.
Gary Valentine.
Yeah. And we missed half of that, but it was, from what I remember, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
I think he might've had another person. I don't remember. This is like back in like 2017 or something. It's a really long time ago. But I do remember enjoying myself. It's full of casino alcohol. And so I don't have total memory. So let's see. So they're all just kind of talking about what they want to do. We have another couple moments with Arthur.
Change quite a bit.
Yeah, and Dad, I was thinking, maybe I should just get out of your way around here, In fact, Doug and Carrie agreed to let me stay with them until I can afford my own place.
Well, that's just fine, sweetheart. Mm-hmm. Now I can turn your room into a little greenhouse, grow some stuff to help my glaucoma.
Dad, actually, there's more. Is it Carrie?
Well, Dad, we thought, under the circumstances, you might be happier if you sold the house and moved into a nice, lovely retirement home.
I got two words for you. I'm staying right here.
That's total classic, right?
Yeah.
Four words.
Oh, is it? Then I got another four words. Screw you!
Well, that's two words.
Arthur, maybe you should stop saying in advance how many words you have.
Yeah. Once you do that, you're pretty much locked in, huh?
Yeah, right. Okay, thank you. Dad, look, we love you and we respect you, but let's face it, you need a lot of watching.
I resent that!
I love the hand motion. Like, we all have to be like that. Once you hit, like, 75, you just have to do that. So he's basically saying how he built the house. He's not going anywhere.
I'm
going
to live by myself, take care of myself right here. In the house that I built with my own two hands.
We see the house is on fire.
That's some pretty mean stock footage that you
like, holy cow, right? That's like everybody's nightmare right there. Jeez. Yeah.
So it doesn't really look like Queens, though.
Well, parts of Queens, believe it or not. It's
really,
you could find, yeah. You could find some areas. It does. So let's see. We,
what's the matter?
So Arthur's sitting in their kitchen and trying to figure out like what's going on. Doug's like, why is he here?
What's your dad doing here anyway? And why does he smell like hickory smoked bacon?
Well, Dad decided to cook his dinner on a 42-year-old hot plate, and he burned his house down.
What? But there's a whole big kitchen in there. What the hell is he cooking on a hot plate for?
Apparently, it was his lucky hot plate.
It is lucky. It's the only thing that survived the fire.
Genius.
Yeah.
So we have Sarah come in. Everything she's lost is gone. Everything they've all lost, it's just gone. Again, this big, it's not that funny. You know, it's like, it's
something I always think about for that scene is like, if, you know, one of your parents had a big house fire, was that not something you would call your husband about to tell him before he gets home?
Yeah. Like it would be like, you got to come home right away. And, it, you know, it would also be like, all right, everybody's okay. So, let's see. We go down to the basement.
By the way, if you want, I can take a personal day from work tomorrow. We can check out some of those retirement places. There's a really nice one I delivered to right off of Queens Boulevard. They have very good macaroni and cheese. Hey, what's the matter?
Doug, upstairs, it just hit me. I can't do this to him. I can't stick him in some crappy place where they're gonna just prop him up in a chair and pump him full of Jell-O. I mean, he's my father.
Okay, I mean, I know how you feel, but you gotta be realistic. There's no alternative.
Well, there's one alternative.
Euthanasia?
That's genius. So,
here? With us? I mean, how? We don't have the room. I mean, Sarah's going to be in the spare bedroom, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's no other room. I mean, there's this room, but this room is... Oh, no, 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 no. This is my safe place. I'm safe here, remember?
Did you see his face when he talked about going into retirement home? He looked so depressed.
Is that what you got depressed? See, I didn't get depressed.
So I think it's kind of interesting, too. Like, they were going to put Sarah in the spare bedroom, but... and granted, you might not want to have Arthur right across the hall from you. But yeah, he could have had his, you know, basement, you know, his lounge area, if he wanted.
Doug could have had it?
Yeah, like Doug could have still had it if Carrie didn't need her home office, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
More like a nervous, fun energy, like a kid going to summer camp for the first time. It's scary, but hey, there's arts and crafts.
So Carrie's crying.
Yeah. What do you think of this scene? Like seeing both of them cry about this?
Well, I mean, in real life, right? I think in general, you do what you have to do. And like, if somebody needs to live somewhere, I would definitely open my door to, even if I despise the person. But,
yeah,
you know, to have to do the whole long-term care of an elderly parent seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a big commitment.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Like, it always struck me as like out of character for these two, especially Doug, to start crying in the scene.
Yeah,
I know it's just like for comic effect, I guess, but like it always like seems so different from who they become.
Yeah. I do think this is a really funny scene though, when they're in the bed together. I think this is, it's so stupid.
But. 3. Yeah. Well, at least I think that's the score. I can't see the bottom of the screen.
Hey, Richie, come on. Eat over a plate. Carrie doesn't want to get crumbs on the duvet.
What's the duvet?
Look, I don't know, but she was pointing to that area when she said it.
And I think Spence kind of steals the show with what he's about to do.
Pull the covers off.
Oh, it's drafty, my leg.
No, pull the covers off!
Why are you in such a foul mood?
Because I'm...
It's like they're in like a little hotel or something.
It looks so small.
And it is.
This show is what taught me what a duvet is, because that's the only reason I remember.
I think the duvet is like that sheet that goes between the box spring and the mattress. The flow. Yeah. I don't know. I really don't know what a duvet
is. It's either that or like a little blanket that goes on top of the comforter. Oh, right? Yeah. Am I right?
I'm going to let's fact check this. A duvet. How do you spell duvet? All right. A duvet is a soft, flat bedding bag filled with down, feathers. Oh, yeah. So you lay it on top. So, yeah, it's exactly what they had when he pulled it. So it has a removable, washable cover, making it a versatile alternative to comforters. And there you go.
I was a little off. Yeah.
So... All right, let's, we kind of start having more conflicts with Sarah. Like there's not too much in this episode that gets carried over to too many more episodes, but there's some arguing. There's this, there's that, there's nothing, you know, the next one morning, Doug is trying to like get to the bathroom. The TV is really taking up like a good, like 30% of the bedroom.
Yeah.
It's like, when I moved out for the very first time, you try to squeeze everything in that you have. You squeeze it. Those TVs are huge. Look at that thing. It's like a little wall.
Yeah.
God. So Doug is shaving.
It's gonna be 5 minutes. Okay, half hour tops.
This is a kind of a gag that we see from time, well, maybe two times.
Yeah.
Where Doug is shaving and he sees the like sexy silhouette of Sarah. So he definitely cuts himself. I'll just play it. It's just so funny. But if you remember when he goes to Carrie's boss's house where they have the elevator right to the penthouse, and he eats the egg, the raw egg, and he has to vomit, and he goes behind the Chinese screen.
The subway's gonna be a disaster.
Actually, I don't think it's a Chinese. I guess it could be a Chinese screen, but it was a Japanese performance. So he's all like cut up too, like
your face. Why did you cut yourself so much?
I'd rather not say.
And why are you still in your pajamas, hon? It's 7:45. Have you even showered?
No, your sister's been in there for 20 minutes.
Well, did you try flushing the toilet?
Yeah, she just screams and keeps showering.
All right, I'll get her out.
Whoa.
So it's just too much. Like living with no one and then living with all these people. It's just too much. We see one of the first, maybe the only shot, the first shot rather, of Doug driving, right?
Yeah.
So what's up?
Nothing. I was just sitting here thinking about you and how much I love you and how great you've been about Dad moving in and everything.
No big deal.
No, it is. I mean, living with us has calmed him down so much. In fact, I just spoke to him an hour ago and he said he was just going to the afternoon in his room reading. Isn't that something?
So he pulls up with these women. So I think it would have been really funny if this was like an ongoing gag too. That he was kind of is, right? I mean, he has the times where he goes off to the casino and he goes to the docks. There are times where he does some ridiculous stuff. It's like, where does he even get the car? It's so funny.
Doug? Doug?
What are you so upset about? I was just going to the movies.
You see, that part's fine, just fine. The part I'm having a problem with, Dad, it's the hookers.
Look, the fact is, I was lonely. I just didn't want to go to the movies by myself.
That's the excuse. So Sarah comes in wearing, I think, a Chinese, it reminds me of like the Chinese logo from when they lived above the Chinese food place.
I'm thinking about having a party here. Is Tuesday okay?
No, it's not. And not Wednesday either.
I don't know. I feel like they might have even modified it. I don't know.
Chinatown.
Or maybe
what does it say on the bottom?
Chinatown.
I mean, the Kiwanis Club.
Maybe New York.
Okay, she's moved to Thursday?
No.
All right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it says New York.
That's it. Listen up, okay? Hey, this is my house. I pay the mortgage here. Actually, she pays the mortgage. It's a tax thing. The point is, starting now, here are the rules, all right? No parties, no Kiwanis, no hookers, no jumping in line for the bathroom and making me late for work, and certainly no naked soapy silhouettes getting me all hot while I'm trying to shave.
That's awesome.
That's a good line. That.
And then he, of course, brings it right to Arthur.
At Arthur.
So let's see. We go to bed.
Me, Doug. If that is your real name. What's the matter?
I'm not in the mood.
Why not?
I feel fat.
So we get these like intimate moments with Doug and Carrie, which I think they somehow work.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. They may, and very often on this show, they'll make like little comments. I think are kind of sweet. Like you get like little weird final lines.
Wait, top of a movie is all you need. What the hell does that mean?
It means nothing. It means nothing. We haven't had sex in a month, so if you want to talk, let's talk after.
Yeah, if I'm still awake, okay. Maybe. Did you confiscate your dad's hot plate?
I should have, shouldn't I?
Let's just keep going until we smell smoke.
So I thought it was a cute first episode for King of Queens.
Yeah, it was better than I remembered it.
I forgot it was a CBS show. That's one thing that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the most part, I think that almost everyone on the show started here, aside from Jerry Stiller. I mean, Leah Remini's had a bunch of like little things here and there. James, I mean, I don't know if he was really doing much more than kind of doing okay with stand-up.
Yeah, like from what I've remembered, Leah Remini, she had done like several sitcoms, none that really lasted long.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Kevin James appeared on Everybody Loves Raymond, I think, a couple times before King of Queens.
As this character, or?
I think so, or like someone almost identical, you know? I think it was one of those things, kind of how they did later in the show, where it's like they would appear as Ray or appear as Doug. Right, like, I think they did call him Doug on Raymond.
Doug. So the top five shows this week when this aired, I don't know if I mentioned when this aired, September 21st, 1998. The top five shows were Veronica's Closet, which I vaguely remember just existing. I never saw it. Seinfeld, Frasier, Friends, and ER was number one. So that's interesting. In the theaters, you had movies like Saving Private Ryan and Blade and Rush Hour and There's Something About Mary. So I think with something, There's Something About Mary, I'm pretty sure that was a Ben Stiller film. So he wasn't even, I mean, this is when he was first becoming really famous as well. Jerry Stiller, of course, had a career, you know, prior to him getting older. Yeah, that's true. So really just kind of interesting, man. But Chris, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to do this tonight.
Yeah, no problem. It was pretty fun.
Now you sent me your TikTok. I don't know if you want to mention your TikTok handle.
Yeah.
I don't.
It's Cinemas in Celluloids. That's N with the letter N in the middle. Mm-hmm. Cinemas in Celluloids.
And I'll put a link to it in the show notes. That way people could just kind of click on it. But you talk about a lot of different pop culture and a lot of different movies, but you get from time to time, you do touch upon King of Queens.
Yep. I've done a couple videos about King of Queens, and I honestly could do more because, you know, having watched the show so many times, you know, a lot of, you know, ideas pop into my head, I guess. So,
yeah. And yeah. How do you get a good feedback from TikTok? TikTok is really foreign to me.
Yeah. I've had this account that I mentioned, Cinemas and Celluloids. I've had that one for like 2 years now, but it's kind of starting to gain some steam over the past few months.
That's awesome, man. But yeah, I can't thank you enough for doing this. Hopefully I can trick you to come back on, cover a bunch of other episodes. I think it'll get more and more evolved as the show evolves, because it does take a little bit of time just to get these characters kind of moving forward.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'd be down to, you know, awesome, do some more episodes in the future.
I really appreciate it. But again, Chris, thank you so much. I appreciate taking the time to do this. People should head on over to kingofqueenspodcast.com to learn about these episodes that are coming up. This is the very first episode, and I really can't thank you enough for being a part of it.
Yeah, thank you.